How many know that when God does things in our lives, sometimes it means change, you know, and so change is part of living. If we don't embrace change, then we're not embracing living. Life involves change. And it was about August of 2018, 2.5 years ago, when Jordan Tim, it's our daughter Jordan and Tim Cook, and up in Wilmington, North Carolina, little Bailey, and Maddox, somebody thought I said something, Max, but it's Maddox, M-A-D-D-O, M-U-D-D-O-X, M-A-D-D-U-X. Wow. Okay, I forgot what I was going to say. And little Maddox is going to be coming here in just a few weeks. But in August of 2018, they came to us, have a heart for the Lord and love the Lord. And God was bringing them through a season of transition, season of change. And so they came to us and said they were had been praying and felt like the Lord spoke to their heart about coming, driving back and forth to St. Simons from Wilmington, North Carolina. And on a good day, it's 6 hours each way. And when there's traffic, it could be as much as 8 hours. But they have been coming here with us the last 2.5 years, at least 3 weekends out of the month, sometimes 4 weekends out of the month. And so they've been here a lot with us, and they felt like God moved them to do that. And as we prayed during that moment in August of 2018, we didn't have to pray very long, Chris and I. We knew that they must have heard the voice of the Lord. And so they've been here being obedient to God and serving in a great way. And they probably would still be serving right on had not little Maddox been conceived. Maddox was conceived and was not necessarily planned. And God is full of surprises. And so when Maddox was conceived, they began to think of the time frame of all of this and knew that February 12th would be the date that Maddox was due. And so per doctor's orders, they needed to stop traveling, especially traveling 12 hours per weekend, about 30 days prior to Maddox's due date, arrival date. So they kind of planned and worked it out to where today is January the 12th. It's amazing how that works. January 12th. And so this today was the target date, has been the target date now for the last few months for them to end this season. And sometimes we need a little encouragement to step into the new season. That's not what I'm preaching about today, but let me preach for a minute. Sometimes we're kind of forced into the next season when God has something greater. You know, so we have to embrace as God brings change because some things we can't control. We'll talk about that this morning. Some things are beyond our control, and we say, Lord, I trust you in what you're doing. I don't understand it. It's not necessarily my plan or my timing, but Lord, I know your timing is perfect. And so as Maddox is growing, as he's healthy and strong and he responds to our voices and rubbing and smiling and giggling and all those things, he already responds to those things. We know that the due date is coming up very soon. And per the doctor's orders, thank God for good doctors, and I believe we should draw near to good doctors and thank God for them and do as they ask us to do for our own health, our own safety. So they're doing that. They're honoring the request of the doctors to do what the doctor has said. And today will be their last Sunday as far as being here every Sunday. And so as those of you that were here the last Sunday of last year, we made this announcements and welcomed Wendy on staff with us, who will be overseeing the daycare operations coming up as well as leading worship on Sundays. We know that God has been in the middle of all that as well. And so there are many changes going on in our midst, and all of that we believe in the leadership of this church is it's all been directed and orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. So we embrace that. That doesn't mean our hearts aren't sad. That doesn't mean that we're not struggling with what God is doing. We simply receive it. We trust God and we say, God, we know that you're in control and that you're doing some great things. That's a good thing about coming alongside God and trusting him. We know that his way is wonderful. So I'm going to ask Tim and Jordan if you would come up and stand with me this morning. And Crystal, you can come up too, baby, if you want to. Come on up here. And we're so thankful for their lives. We know that God is going to continue to use them there in Wilmington, and they'll be back with us sometime this year. We know that as Maddox gets a little older, maybe they'll want to come back and visit and say hello. So that date has not been set, but we'll let you know when they're on the way. And of course, we'll stay in contact with them. I believe we'll stay in contact with them. We might even see them in about 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah. to welcome little Maddox, little man, with us. So aren't y'all thankful for their lives and what they're doing? Amen. We honor you both, and we thank God for your lives. We know that God has some great and big plans for you both. And you know I'm speaking kind of from a dad, but also from a pastor. I'm proud of you. Proud of you. I thank God for what he's doing. I see his hand on your life, and you seeking him the way that you do. You'll never not be used. God smiles on you. He's pleased with you. Keep up the good work, and we're just praying God's blessings on you. Amen?
Amen.
And they don't know this, but we're going to pray over them in just a moment. But they don't know this, but most of you that's on our email list at the church office received an email this week. And we're going to bless them this morning as you leave, as we dismiss after the service today. The elders and ushers have put a basket there at the back door. If you feel led to put something in there that we can give them as a kind of a going away gift, feel welcome to do that. Amen. But let's come together and pray for them this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this family. God, they are blood, but Lord, more importantly, they're part of the family of God. And Lord, you've ordained them, you've called them, you've set their feet on your path, Father. And Lord, I thank you that they have ears to hear you, but also a heart to follow you. God, even when things aren't necessarily comfortable, even when things aren't necessarily their top choice or their top pick, God, we know that what you're leading in is your way. And Lord, we submit to that. They submit to that today, Lord, and they embrace that. They embrace your hand and all that you're doing in their lives. And so, Father, I pray continued blessings on them, blessings on Bailey. God, as she also has a heart of worshiper, God. And Lord, that you said that you would make way for their talents. And Lord, we're trusting you to do that today, Father, for Pastor Tim, for Jordan, for Bailey, and for Maddox. We thank you, Lord, that you've got it all ordained. You've got it all laid out. And so, Lord, we don't have to worry or fret, because we trust you. Thank you, Almighty God. We love you today, Father. We bless them in every way, in every part of their lives, God. We thank you that you lead them, that you guide them, and that you protect them. Yes. Now I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord... cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you, that he'll shine the path before you. He'll give you his awesome, everlasting peace. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you.
Love you.
Love you. Love you. Amen. Amen. In Zechariah, chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah 4, 6 says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your direction. Lord, I pray that we will have ears to hear your word today. Thank you that it's life, it's light. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless our time, that you'll anoint my words to speak your word. We bless you and honor you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I started this series that I've called By His Spirit. And it's By His Spirit. It's taken from the scripture that we just read here in Zechariah 4, 6. See, we can do a lot of things on our own. We can get up in the morning, we brush our teeth, we get our shower, we get dressed, we get in the car, we go and do and really do it without a second thought. But God has called us to a place, and as Miss Deborah so eloquently said a while ago, God has given us talents and abilities far greater than our ability to accomplish those things. And so we can accomplish those things, but it's only by the Spirit of God. as we're embracing 2020, this year that we thought was so far in the future that we may or may not be around in 2020, here we are. And there are great things that God has in store for you, has in store for your family, has in store for us as a church, has in store for our country. And we may look at those things in the natural and say, well, how in the world can I ever accomplish what God, I feel like, is calling us to do, me to do? You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. It's only by the Spirit of the living God. It's only by His Spirit. We talked last week about having hope, and having hope means more than just believing it. It's speaking, it's living it, having hope that all things are possible, that nothing is impossible with the Lord. And so we talked about our thought process in having hope, and as we think that either brings in hope to our heart, or as we think it can bring in hopelessness to our heart. And we know hopelessness is not of God. Hopelessness is not from God, because he says in His Word all things are possible. So we can always have hope in Him, knowing that what He says will happen when we trust in Him will happen. No matter how big, no matter how impossible it may seem. But what I want to talk about today is go a little deeper on our thought process. How we think. Because how we think should move to our heart, and what moves to our heart, it's how we live, and how we live moves to our actions. And that's what I'm talking about today, is fulfilling God's purpose in our life. How we think is very important. And so if we can learn to control our thoughts, that's one thing that I can't do for you and you can't do for me. You can't control my thoughts. I can't control your thoughts. We can talk all day, we can encourage one another every day, but when it comes to what we think, you are the only one that can control what you think. I am the only one that can control what I think. What we think is important. It's important because we can either align with the Spirit of God, or we can come in contradiction with the Spirit of God, all in how we think. Our thought process is important. Controlling your thoughts may very well be the greatest battle of our Christian walk. Anxiety begins with a thought. Fear begins with a thought. Sin begins with a thought. Determination begins with a thought. Consistency begins with a thought. Following Jesus Christ begins with a thought. Ecclesiastes 10:2 says, "A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left." Another translation says it this way: wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. That's pretty plain. Everything we do begins with a thought. Unless we can control and learn to control our thoughts. Now, how many of you had a dream at night as a nightmare, and you get up the next morning thinking about that nightmare? We had no control of what we dreamed, but we do have control of what we think about that dream once we're awake, right? So we can't control the initial thought, but it's the thinking process. How long does that thought stay there? We can change our thought, or we can embrace the thought. We can either embrace God's way, or we can embrace our way. That's really what it boils down to. But unless we control our thoughts, we cannot fully trust God's word. The truths that I'm speaking to you today, and the truths that we preach every single week out of the word of God. Unless we control our thoughts to think on these things, is contrary to the word of God, we cannot fully trust God based on our thought process. How we think is important to God. How we think is one way into our life. God's way wants to be part of our thought process. What do you want to be better in 2020? Do you want it to be better? We've got to better our thoughts to align with God's word. Now, we, especially with children, we talk about the way they behave and how they need to behave and how they do. And many times we work on the action more than we work on the thought process of the action. But as adults, we know that our behavior can change based on who's in your presence and who's not. But how to permanently correct a behavior is to get at the root of the thought process. Maybe I should think about not robbing the bank. Right? I can correct that and not rob a bank again, but if it's in my thought process, I would really like to rob that bank, then I've got a problem. I've got a tendency to what? Rob a bank. But if I get to the thought process, to the root of my thinking, and saying, God, I have this weakness to rob a bank, but Lord, I'm turning it over to you. Thank you, Lord, that you caused me to think about other things and not about things contrary to your word. You see, my thought process will affect my changes. My thought process of what I think about will have an effect on my reaction and what I do and don't do. Now, that was a little over the top, but you get the point. Our thought process will affect our behavior process. How we think will have an impact on what we do, what we believe, and what we embrace, and what we trust. Everything begins with a thought. Jesus wants to have a place and have the place in our thought. We talked about last Sunday, putting God first, putting him first in our life, putting him first in everything that we do. You say, well, God's in my life, he's just not first. Well, if he's not first, he's not in your life. Because in his word, he says he'll have no other gods before him. So if there's anything else that takes precedence or takes more importance over him, then he's not there on the list at all, because he's already said his word, unless he is first. He'll have no other gods before him. Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed by this world. In other words, don't think like the world thinks. The world thinks analytically, thinks like, well, let's plan it all into place and then we'll go forward with a plan. But God says, you go forward with a plan and expect me to work a miracle in your life. Now, he also says in his word, count the cost. So we need to count the cost. We don't need to be foolish about stepping out and doing something foolishly. We need to count the cost. But as we count the cost, as we know that there's a price to pay in our life for serving God and for laying down our life for his life, as we count the cost, we don't have to have every detail to a plan. We will never have every detail to a plan when we follow God's plan. He doesn't expose that. Why? Because it's way over our head. If it's something that we could do, we would not need God's help. If it's something that we could put together, why would we need him to lead our way? Well, I've got it all together, so I can lead my own way. But we need to be led by him in order to follow him, which is the best way, which is higher than our way. Don't be conformed to this world, Romans 12:2 says, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. In other words, change your thought process. Change what you're thinking. It goes on to say the promise. As we change our thinking and think God's way, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What a promise. Isn't that awesome? All because our mind has been transformed and we don't think like the world, but we think like God. That doesn't mean we don't have fun, we don't go fishing and play golf and do all the things that we enjoy doing. Absolutely not. God gave us the ability to do those things and gave some talents to hit a golf ball further than others. We've got a couple of those guys in here this morning. So God gives us talents and abilities to do that and to enjoy even recreation, and God can be part of that too, right? So don't ever think that serving Christ is boring. He's not a boring God. We accept him and we take him everywhere we go in every part of our life. And as we do that, our mind is transformed. Like I talked last week, God can give us such a belief of hope in him that we can see things that we wouldn't normally see because we're operating in a realm that others don't operate in. He can cause our mind and our thoughts to be much higher, not because it's Mike Murray or Tim Cook. He can cause our thoughts to be much higher because we're on a different wavelength. We're thinking like he thinks. We're seeing things from a different angle than others see things. And we have ideas that other people don't have because God knows all things. We don't have to conjure up and think about something that we would think about that makes sense to us humanly, because things God, the things he does are far beyond what we could ever imagine or think. Our thoughts have a lot to do with how we feel. I've heard saying, well, I don't feel like I love you anymore. I don't feel like I want to be with you anymore. Well, you know what? We don't live by feelings. We live by God's principles. So there again, the root of that is the thinking. What are you thinking? Do you feel discouraged? It may be because of your thoughts. Do you feel sick? Maybe because of your thoughts. Do you feel mad or upset or anxious? It could be because of your thinking. Your thoughts have a lot to do with how you feel. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not how we feel. I like to look at it this way. There are three questions that we could probably ask ourselves today. Why am I having wrong thoughts? Could it be what I'm watching that impacts my thoughts? Could it be what I'm listening to that is controlling my thoughts? Could it be who I'm hanging around and who I look up to, who influences my life, of why I'm having these thoughts? Check that. Check what you're watching. Check what you're listening to. Check who influences your life. What books are you reading? Who do you look up to? Who do you idolize? It would do good to identify your source of thoughts. Philippians 4, 8 and 9 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. And verse 9 says, the things which are learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these things. Here's the promise. When you think on these things, when you meditate on these things, the God of peace will be with you. My Lord, who needs peace today? In a world of chaos, in a world of confusion, how can you find peace? You can find peace by thinking on these things. You say, well, it's got to be more complicated than that. Don't I have to go through a 13-week study course, 6 months? Don't I have to travel here and go? Listen, this is the Word of God right here. It's that simple. The God of peace will be with you. And what the Word of God says is true. And my heart for you is for you to live in complete and total peace. Total peace. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Well, that makes sense, right? You're thinking about the flesh, so your minds are on the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, and that's a capital S, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit, then you'll live according to the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. So that's one path. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So our life and peace boils down to our thoughts. Isn't that what I just read? Our life and our peace boils down to our thoughts. Now, some of the things that we deal with in our physical body, sickness and disease and things like that, some of it's hereditary and part of it's Adam and Eve. And you're welcome to talk to Adam and Eve when we get to heaven one day. But while we're here, part of it's hereditary, but another part of it is that we need to stay close to Jesus Christ, where he gives us life and he gives us peace. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5 says this, For though we walk in the flesh, we agree, we're walking in the flesh today. Let me pinch you, right? We know we're walking in the flesh. We're here. We do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down arguments, or casting down every thought, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We've got to pull those things down. Bringing every thought, say every thought. Say it again, every thought. Into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So I'm going to give you five ways to control your thoughts today. Number one, limit access to your mind. Limit the access to your mind. If you give anybody access to your mind to pour whatever they want to in your mind, then that's what you're going to get out of your mind. We've got to limit access. Why? Because your mind is valuable. Your mind, as we've already said, it can control your peace with God. It can control your life with God. And your life on earth. We've got to limit the access to our mind. Don't read just anything that's out there. Don't look at anything that's out there. Limit the access to your mind. For some, it's the news. For some, it's Facebook and social media. For some, it's friends. For some, it's internet. Whatever that is, that you need to limit access to your mind, limit it. You have control over what has access to your mind. Don't just, you want space in my mind? Here you go. Here's your space. Here's your space. And before you know it, all the space is taken care of, taken up, and Jesus has no space. Think on these things, the Word of God. If we allow access to anyone and anything to our mind, then we'll be confused and we'll be angry. We see confusion all around us. We see anger all around us. And it could boil down to the very thought, the thought process, the thinking that's going on around us. Who and what do you allow access to your mind? If you were given, passed down an inheritance of 100 carats of diamonds, the lawyer calls you up tomorrow morning and says, your aunt so-and-so from England, you didn't know her, you never met her, but we're going to be FedExing you a package that's secure, and it's 100 carats of diamonds. Yeah. Wouldn't it be something? Can you imagine the value of that? And so that's it. So by Tuesday morning, you have access, you have control. You have that box sealed with 100 carats of diamonds. Would you put it on your front porch on a little coffee table outside by your flower bed and just spread it out and say, look, neighbors, look at this. Isn't that pretty? Or would you cherish it? Would you put it away into a safe place and only allow certain people that you really highly trust to see your 100 carats of diamonds? Well, we know the answer to that. And so your mind is more valuable than 100 carats of diamonds. Your mind is valuable because it has control over your very being, of your spirit man, of your relationship with God. How are you guarding the access to your mind? Are you guarding it any greater than you would those 100 carats of diamonds? If you're not, then understand that your mind is valuable. Your mind is important. The health of your mind is in your hands, in that what you think about will have control over your actions. Guard your mind. Guard control access. Because the quality that you put in determines the quality that you'll get out. The quality that you put in will control the quality that you get out. Why is this? Pastor Mike, why are you telling us this? What does this have to do with the Word of God? Because wrong thoughts clouds judgments. Wrong thoughts clouds our judgment. Wrong thoughts will control or constrict how we hear from God. Wrong thoughts will hinder good decisions. Wrong thoughts will limit what you can accomplish. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the Word of God is living and powerful. That's the key to our life. The Word of God, as we're preaching out of this morning. The Word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts. Wow. Imagine that. I wrote that in last night while you were sleeping. Discerner of the thoughts. The Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts. So as the Word of God is in us, as we take more and more of the Word of God, and you know what? We can't listen to the Word of God on Sunday and think that we're going to be healthy and come back next Sunday and listen to the Word of God again. I mean, that's like me feeding you pimento cheese and crackers today, and then you not eating all week long and coming back for some more pimento cheese and crackers next Sunday. How healthy will you be? You'll blow away pretty soon. That's the same with our spiritual life. We've got to eat on the Word of God every single day if we're going to be healthy spiritually. Do you want to have peace? Do you want to have life? It's got to be part of our life. The Word of God is living and powerful. It has control over negative thoughts. It has control over fearful thoughts. It has control over anxious thoughts. It has control over discouraging thoughts. Anything contrary to the Word of God has more power than what you're thinking. The Word of God has no limits. The sky is not even the limit. The Word of God is limitless. Number two, how to control your thoughts. Communicate with God every single day. That goes right along with the Word of God. Communicate with God every single day. You say, well, God doesn't speak to me. I don't hear God speaking. Well, many times God speaks to us in different ways. I found that the thicker your skull is, the louder he gets. I'm talking from personal experience. But we can open up the Word of God anytime, any second of the day, anytime. And we can read the Word of God And this is him speaking to us. He's always speaking. And then as we develop a relationship with God more and more, I'm not saying that I'm any more spiritual than you are, but as we develop a relationship with God, we learn how he speaks, we know what to listen to. It's not that he's not speaking, it's that we don't have an ear to hear, to listen through all the other noise that's going on around us. And there's all kind of noise. And so God's always speaking to us. We've got to communicate with God. We've got to talk to him, and we've got to listen to him. Right? Pastor Tim says it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. It's two-way. It'd be kind of boring if I went up to you and I started talking to you and I didn't allow you to speak back. You'd be bored after a while. I would feel great because I'm the one talking. But you wouldn't feel too good. You'd say, man, that's weird. Every time I try to talk to him, he's just talking all the time, and I can never get a word in edgewise. Well, so conversation, communication is important, right? And it's communication is listening as well as talking. So we talk to God, but we listen to God. It says Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Our mind, as it's stayed on God, as we communicate with God, he gives us perfect peace because he knows if our minds are stayed on him, then we trust him. Our minds have a tendency to stay on whatever we have trust in. So that's why many times our thoughts come off of God, because we really don't trust him. We're thinking of another way to get out of this thing. We're thinking of another way that how can we have control over this thing, because I'm afraid God may not come through in time enough. So maybe God has a different plan coming in later, maybe 3 days after I'm dead, and I don't want that to happen. Just saying. God has a tendency to come in late according to our clock, but he's always right on time. But as we trust God, is when we truly trust God, then our mind is stayed on him. God, I know that this is happening here, and Lord, I don't understand it, and I sure don't like it, but God, my mind is stayed on you because I trust you. It says in his word that he'll give us perfect peace as we keep our mind on him. And that's part of communication. Giving it to God. See, you were not made to carry the load that some of you are carrying today. God did not create us to carry a load. That's why he said his load is easy, his burden is light. Why? It's not that you're not going to have troubles, because in another scripture it says, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Yay. Yay, we're of good cheer because he overcome the world. Amen. Keep our mind stayed on him. Communicate with him. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't be so consumed with all the things going on around you. That's what's important about family, about marriage, about loving one another, is that we get so caught up with things of the world till we forget what we're supposed to be doing. And our relationship with God winds up being the same way sometimes. We get so wrapped up in the cares of life that we forget about what's most important, and that is my relationship with God, my relationship with my family. Amen. So we need to keep our priority list in the right priorities, keeping God first in our life. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth. And number three, seek godly accountability. Now this is tough. Tougher probably for guys than it is girls. Girls like to get together and they'll talk about everything. I mean everything. They have no problem. And they seek godly counsel or seek godly accountability. They're accountable to each other. I mean, they'll go to lunch and talk about stuff that we've never thought of. But us guys, we'll get together and, hey, so how's your golf game? How's everything at the office? How's everything going? What about this? But we don't go to the innermost part of our thoughts. And we don't have the automatic tendency to be accountable to one another. It's important. Every pastor needs a pastor. I was at a pastor's meeting last Tuesday morning, and the topic came up. I said, every pastor needs a pastor. We never get so close to God till, you know what, I don't need anybody to speak into my life anymore, because me and God are right here together, and I don't need anybody telling me what to do. Well, that's pride. That's pride. So we need to seek accountability, godly accountability. Did you know that every athlete that's successful, every athlete that ever that accomplishes anything great, Jake Fromm. You know how he got great? Because he's got a good trainer. He didn't get there by himself. Well, why does he need a trainer? He needs a trainer so on those days he's feeling lazy, the trainer's saying, get up, boy. On those days he's feeling discouraged, I can't do this. Yes, you can. Get up. Let's go. A trainer tends to push you a little bit. Sometimes we need pushing. Why? Because the trainer knows what's in us more than maybe what we remember sometimes. And so that's really a good way to look at somebody that you're accountable to, is that they're there to encourage you. They're there to push you a little bit. They're there to challenge you. You know, growth does not come without a challenge. Some would say, well, I've grown enough, I don't want to grow anymore. I heard somebody say one time, listen, if growing means more heartache, then I'm done growing. I'm going to stay a midget. I'm staying small. But God wants us to grow, right? Growing is not only natural, but growing is spiritual as well. God wants us to grow. And so that means challenging us. So we need to have someone that we can embrace accountability. You know, not just anybody. You're not going to sit on the street corner of New York City and say, who can I come into my life and tell me how to live my life and what to do? Well, you'll get all kind of input, but that's not necessarily godly input. Amen? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love. See, that's what godly accountability does. Helps us to stir up love of good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Isn't that awesome? Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. See, the closer we get to the coming back of God, the more accountability that we're going to need for one another. Just to keep each other sharp. Keep each other encouraged. Keep each other going on the right path. Not to go astray. Not to be the one sheep that kind of goes off and has a side little bunny trail there. But to stay focused on what God is doing. How to control your thoughts. Number four, process your thoughts in a godly environment. Process your thoughts in a godly environment. So we see the story of Joseph, and maybe it wasn't the most wise thing, but God was speaking to him and saying, well, you're going to do great things. I've called you to great things. But what Joseph did, he went to those that he thought would be an encouragement to him and spilled everything that God was telling him, and what? They fired it back against him. They used that against him to just about take out his life. Now, I believe that Joseph grew through that, and we can one day talk to him and say, Joseph, would you do things any differently if you had to do it over again? It would have saved himself a lot of heartache, wouldn't it? And so we need to be careful the environment that we spill our guts. Amen. That we spill our guts to. I was given permission to say that. So the things that God's talking to us in our heart is not necessarily meant for everybody else to know. So we need to be careful, be in a safe, godly environment to share those things. Amen? That's wise. That's wise. Because there are many people. How many know you have an enemy? You have an enemy. Everybody. If you're a Christian, you've got an enemy. And if you think everybody's going to be happy with you, I heard somebody say the other day, if you want everybody happy with you, go sell ice cream. But outside of selling ice cream, and I do love ice cream, outside of selling ice cream, then we know that everybody's not always happy with us, and everybody's not there wanting you to do well in life. So as you spill the goodies of what God's doing in your life to the wrong people, it could create a problem to where now you're going to conquer, you're going to prevail, and you're going to do well, but it could be just a little more difficult for you than what it should have been. And then if you believe them and come alongside them, it could completely take you off the right trail. So we see the importance. Be careful of who you pour your heart out to. Make sure it's a godly environment. Matthew 7, 6 says it this way, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. That's kind of what I was talking about, the diamonds a while ago. The valuables that God has put in your life. If God has put it there, it is valuable. Very valuable. And so we need to treat it as such. Don't cast your pearls before the swine, lest they what? Trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. That's putting a lot stronger than I did. Years ago, I forget what the case was now, but years ago, it's, I don't know, 15, 16, 18 years ago, a long time ago, there was something that in my life that I wanted to kind of get some feedback on, some advice. And so this particular person, this man in my life, I felt would be a good one to go to. And I spent some time with him and talking to him and kind of laid things out a little bit. And the response I got back, it just kind of, I felt uneasy. I couldn't put my finger on what wasn't right, but something wasn't right. And when I left, and days later as I was praying, God said, let this be an example to you that be very careful of who you speak to concerning what I'm doing in your life. And so that was God's way of telling me that it was not good advice. So I just maintained what I was doing. I just maintained. I never said anything to anybody besides Crystal. I never spoke a word of it. I just filed that one back there, the important file, to remember. Be very careful. And I thought I was being careful. So we need to be careful. Know your environment before you're exposing your heart. And fifth and final, how to control your thoughts? Obey God's plan. Obey God's plan. See, when we obey God's plan, we put our plan aside. This is what I'd like to do, God. Now, we have to be careful because the Bible says that he'll fulfill the desires of our heart. But where do our desires come from? Our desires must come from God, right? So that's part of building a relationship with him and being obedient to him and walking out a relationship with him. Then the desires in our heart will come from him. So we've got to be careful that we're in tune with him, that we're in relation with him, that we're walking with him, and that we will know. See, little Bailey, 3 years old. Silas is 6 years old. Josh and Kendra, little Zelda, we call her Z, she is 4 years old. So these children, as precious as they are and as perfect as they are, made after God's image, and we'd turn the world upside down for those sweet babies. But if I were to hand them the keys to the car and say, y'all go have fun now, you see, the desire of their heart right now is not necessarily understanding G-Paw's desire for them. My desire is for them to be safe. Now, it's not that I don't trust them or I don't love them. Believe me. You know I love them. But they need to grow into a place that their desire matches G-Paw's desire. You see? And so my desire is for them to be safe and sound. It wouldn't be wise for me to just hand them the key. So many times we look to God and say, God, this is my desire. I want it now. You said you'll fulfill my desires, so if you're God and if you love me, I expect it by tomorrow morning. So we sometimes act like spoiled brats. I've been there. And God is saying, listen, Mike, calm down. You're not right where you need to be yet. I love you, and I'll turn the world upside down for you, Mike, but be patient with me. I'm doing something in your life. And so I'm sitting here squabbling and crying and screaming and yelling, God don't love me. And he's saying, Mike, I love you. I love you. The desire in your heart needs to grow to the place to where I'm the top priority in your life. See, God has the best plan. We need to trust God. We need to obey his plan. Obeying his plan promotes God. Obeying my plan promotes me. Which one do you think is going to win? On the last day, the day of judgment, which one will win? We know that God's plan will win. And so why can't I learn to trust God now? Why can't I learn to be obedient to God now? Why can't I know that his plan is better than my plan now? Obey his word. And then in and through me, if I obey his word and I'm walking it out anyway, God, I think I know everything. I think I've got it all together. But Lord, you're leading me to do this, so I'm going to trust you and do this. Do you know that God will do some great things in your life that it'll just blow your socks off. It'll shock you. Why? Because you're being obedient to what God said do. Sometimes he'll test us. He tested Abraham. He wants to see just how serious you are. How obedient will you be? If I give you the extreme instruction, are you willing to meet me there? Or are you going to back away because it's so extreme? He's asked us for our life. Is that extreme for some of us? Or are we saying, God, I give you my life. I give you everything I've got. When we come to the understanding that he has it all anyway, he's the reason we're living, he owns the dirt, the building, the sky, everything in between, It's all his anyway. And you know what? It's a blessing to be here. And if I'm not here, bless God, it's going to be good. Why? Because it's God's plan. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." God is saying, my ways are higher than your ways. And so when we learn to think like he thinks, and that only comes through studying the Word of God, other books, I'm not saying that other books aren't good. I'm sure there are other books out there, and every once in a while I'll read one myself. But my main book, if my main book is not this book, then I'm way off base. My life will never line up with the Word of God if I'm not reading the Word of God. My life is going to line up with where I'm spending my time, where I'm putting my energy, where I'm putting my thought process. So if it's not here, where is it? God says his thoughts and his ways are higher than mine. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all." How in the world can you top that? It's not possible. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. What does that mean? That means it don't get any better than that. That we could ask or think according to the power that works in who? Us. That's you and me. Where do we get that power? Right here. It's by his Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by his Spirit. And when we come to him, then he puts that in us to the point that he says we could do even greater things than he did when we serve him. Greater things. Why? Because our thought process, our belief, our trust is all in him and not in us. Let's bow our heads this morning.